Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Well, good morning, First Baptist Church. We are so glad to be with you this morning. Why don't we stand together as we sing this song of praise? For God so loved the world. God so loved the world.
God, we thank you, the truth of your scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Father, we take you at your word. When Jesus spoke those words 2,000 years ago, we still believe them today, that whosoever calls upon your name can be saved. That's the whosoever in this room. Whether someone comes in here full of addiction, full of difficulty, full of strife, needing hope. Whether someone comes in here with their acts of goodness and trying their best to get to you on their own, needing hope. Father, whosoever calls upon you can be saved. Lord, we ask that we could live out that truth today, that we could share your gospel in our community, in our neighborhood, around our nation, and around the world. And God, today that we would be reminded of your goodness. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated if you will, friends. It is great to see you on this holiday weekend here for our second service, and it's an exciting day to be together. I would ask you to take just a moment to tear off your worship registration and to fill that out. Now, if you're a regular attender, there's a number of things to sign up for here. If you are a first or second or maybe even third time guest, we'd love to know that you're here. We have a gift to send you in the mail, and then we also just have a gift to give you before you leave. But we're not coming to your house, but we would like to send you a gift. If you would take a moment to fill that out and then place it in the offering box a little later. If you are participating online, welcome. Welcome to our worship service. We hope you will lean forward in your seat and sing with us and worship with us and grab a Bible and follow along with us. If you don't own a Bible, it'll be on the screen, so you'll be able to see it there as we come to that time a little later. But hang out with us for the next hour. It's an honor to have you. If you would let us know you're there by texting the word welcome to 256-322-6100. It's on your screen now. It'll be there for a minute. They'll leave it up. So if you'll take time to do that, we would appreciate it. For our regular attenders in the room, I want to tell you, I normally don't make announcements at this point, but I want to make one because if you happen to be filling out the registration before the end of the service, something may be confusing and I don't want to mess you up. We made a mistake in the printing of this. And so you'll notice it says you can sign up for the senior adult luncheon on 129. And it also says you can sign up for the senior adult luncheon on 124. We're not having two lunches. The 29th is not the senior adult lunch. The 29th should say the next steps lunch for folks who are new in our church or getting to know us better or want to get us know better. So if you see the 29th, if you check that, you're signing up for the next steps lunch, and the other is for the senior adult lunch. I just wanted to mention that before we continue on. Also in your worship guide, we always list a church we're praying for the week and a mission group. Our church of the week this week is Bethlehem Baptist Church in Smith Institute. If you don't know where Smith Institute is, it is a suburb of Sardis. And if you don't know where Sardis is, it's a suburb of Rockledge. And so that's as far as I'm going to go. But listen, that church is a great church. And you'll be out and you'll think you are out in the county, in the country. But the reality is it's a beautiful building filled with beautiful people. Lots of people who gather together for worship every day at Bethlehem. So you pray for them this morning in worship. Pray for their pastor, Wayne White, as he leads them. And for all their ministries that they're a part of. It's a great church. And then our mission group of the week, our missionary of the week, is Real Life Pregnancy Resources Centers. There's a center in Gunnersville and one in Albertville. We're heavily involved in supporting them and being a part of what they do. So we're going to pray for their ministry as they minister to men and women, mostly women, but women and men as well. And as those that find themselves either in a crisis pregnancy or the possibility or one, or they have small children and they need help. It's a wonderful gospel-centered ministry and we're thankful to be a part. So here's what we're doing. Next weekend is the Advance 2023 conference. We'll talk more about that later. But we always feature our local partners. So for the Crisis Pregnancy Center, we are doing something very specific. Because this is our 140th year to exist as a church, all throughout the year, you'll see things happen that with the number 140. So our goal is next weekend between Friday night's banquet, Saturday's events, and Sunday church, if you would help us, we want to collect 140 packs of diapers for the Crisis Pregnancy Center in one weekend. So if you can bring a pack of diapers, the things they need the most are sizes 4, 5, and 6. Not the smaller sizes, that's what's donated most. So they need 4, 5, and 6. What happens is families can come to them who need help with diapers. disciples, and they have what's called learn to earn. You go through a quick class and Bible study on parenting. You get to hear the gospel, and then they provide those resources for you. It's a wonderful ministry, but they go through so many diapers you would not begin to imagine because the need is so great in our area. So we can help them, 140 packs of diapers. Next weekend, please bring one if you can, size 4, 5, or 6, and we would love that. You can bring them on Wednesday early as well. Let's pray for those ministries as we carry on in worship. Father God, we pray for Bethlehem Baptist. God, would you bring revival there today? I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in power. I pray that you'd be with Brother Wayne as he brings a message. Speak through him. I pray that that congregation would experience revival fires today, that you would fan into flame the gifts that you have given that church. Father, my prayer is that men and women, boys and girls would come to know you there today. Lord, I thank you for them. I pray that 2023 would be their best year of ministry ever. Father, we pray for real life ministries. We pray for the clinic in Guntersville. We pray for the center and then the baby boutique in Albertville. We pray that you would use all these ministries for your glory, that ladies would find hope in you, that they would know that there are churches that pray for them and care for them and support them through this local ministry. Father, that they would find you at the end of their need, that they would find you as the giver of all good things. Father, we pray a blessing upon that ministry, and we pray that we would be able to provide 140 packs of diapers for them, which will go a long way. So God, help us with that. Lord, now, would you please move in our service? Lord, not to stir us or to just get us excited, but God, would you transform us? Would you chip away things in our individual lives that are not of you? Would you strengthen things in our lives that are of you and grow those things? God, would we leave here today more like you? Lord, we're asking that you would do that. We trust that you, the very same God that Jacob prayed to, that you provided for Israel, the very same God that Moses trusted in when you parted the Red Sea, the very same God that Mary herself trusted in when she was lowly but highly favored by you, the very same God that David trusted in, what turned him from a shepherd into a giant killer and then a king. Father, you are still moving in our lives, and those people that prayed to you thousands of years ago, you're the exact same God who's listening and we're praying to today. That is amazing. So God, we ask that you would move in power among us. Lord, do in our lives what you did in their lives. Lord, transform us through your grace. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. We learned a song last week called Same God. So I want to encourage you this week. We're going to sing it together. And you'll pick up on it really easily. So we encourage you with this. Sing out with us. Let's stand together.
Sing this with me, church. I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. I need you now to do the same thing for me. Oh, for me. so good to me, so good to me. You heard your children, you heard your children, you hear your children now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God, you are the same.
Lift it up, church, come on. Fill us with your presence, Lord. God, all our hope is in you. We ask this in your name. Amen. Folks, we're going to continue worshiping. We're going to sing this song of praise. All our hope is in Jesus Christ. And aren't you glad for that promise? Join Buddy as he sings this morning. I've been held.
I've been held by the Savior. I felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return.
Join with him as he sings that hook. All my hope.
Thank God. And I'm no stranger to the prison. I've worn shackles and chains. I've been freed and forgiven. Oh, I'm not going back, for I'll never be the same.
And it drives all
The blood of Jesus has not lost its power. The blood that was shed on the cross has not lost its power. The empty tomb has not lost its power. That is not lost on us today. So God, speak to us through your word. Transform us by your spirit. Make us new in you. That's our prayer, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Take your Bible. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians, we see this beautiful letter written from Paul. Paul, actually 2 Corinthians is in the New Testament. It's the second half of your Bible, really the last third of your Bible. And you will find this story. Let me set it up while you're turning there in your Bible or on your tablet, whatever the case may be, your phone. So in 51 AD, Paul makes his way to Corinth. There's been no church there. This is less than 20 years after Jesus has ascended into heaven. The church is beginning to grow like wildfire in different places. And Paul makes his way to Corinth. When he gets there, he meets two tent makers named Aquila and Priscilla. So Aquila and Priscilla were Jewish like Paul, and they had an understanding of Jesus. So the three of them meet together. If you want to hear their story, read Acts chapter 18. We don't have time to read it now, but you can look at it later. It tells their story. So the three of them begin to meet, and every Saturday, Paul made his way to the Jewish synagogue where he would teach and explain that the Messiah they were waiting for had already come 20 years earlier. It was Jesus. And so many were coming to faith. A little bit into his year and a half he spent there in Corinth, two friends show up to help. We see Silas and Timothy on the scene. So for a year and a half, the five of these become a core group for a church plant. Paul, Aquila, Priscilla, Silas, and Timothy, and they begin to disciple people and share, and God does an amazing work there. So after a year and a half, Paul leaves, and he begins to go and share the gospel different places. But the church in Corinth is much like the church of America. They had their share of troubles. And so Paul had to make two more trips back to speak to them, to help them and encourage them and honestly discipline them and to really help them get back on track. And in the times he was not there, he writes them four different letters that Paul sends to the Corinthian church to encourage them, to instruct them, to help them along the way. Two of those make it into the Bible. 1 Corinthians is the second letter Paul wrote, and 2 Corinthians is the fourth letter Paul wrote. That's kind of confusing, but that's the reality of the situation. So those letters are in the scripture. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, chapters 5 and 6, Paul is basically defending his faith. He is helping them to understand who he is and how God has equipped him that he might encourage them to live out their faith. There were some questions being brought. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's start in verse 17 for what Paul is saying. He says, therefore, because of all the things he has been saying so far, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things, the new has come. So let me ask you, if you're in the room, I want you to signify by saying amen to this. If you're in the room and you are a new creation, the old is gone and God's done that work in you, say amen. All right, so this message is for us. It was for the Corinthian people, but it applies to us. So look at verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So this is what God is doing. Then he says this, verse 20, therefore, we, Paul, Silas, Timothy, Aquila, Priscilla, all the Corinthian church, and now us, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul says Jesus was perfect. He did not sin, but God made him full of sin so that we could be saved and be his ambassadors and be his righteousness for others. Keep going in chapter 6. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. In other words, don't receive God's gift of grace and then not live it out. That would be in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I will listen to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, Paul says, now's the favorable time. Behold, now's the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. What does Paul mean? It means he didn't take money from them. He worked. He was a tent maker with Aquila and Priscilla. He wasn't asking them for things. He was just giving the gospel. He didn't try to live a life unworthy. He tried to live the gospel in front of them. Verse 4, but as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance, in afflictions, in hardship, in calamities, in beatings, in imprisonments, in riots and labors, sleepless nights and hunger. Now, I don't know about you, but when you read that list, I'm not in that list. I don't think there's a person in this room that for the gospel's sake has walked into a beating, an imprisonment, a riot. Maybe you've had some sleepless nights for the gospel's sake, but Paul is in a very elite group of bold men who faced some of the things that they did. So probably you and I are never going to walk into a riot because of our faith or imprisonment because of our faith. Now, I'll be honest, the generation after us or the one after them, if things continue as they are, they might walk into some of that, but probably not us. So the hardships and sleepless nights, that's probably the most we're going to endure out of that list. But what we see is this. Paul talks about what happened to him. Now he talks about how he lived. And these next few verses, Paul's spiritual resume, this is what you and I can do in him. Listen, verse 6. He says, by purity, by knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as imposters and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and yet behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful and yet always rejoicing, as poor and yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. So the first half of Paul's character resume are things that happened to him. And I don't pray that any of those things happen to you or to me. But the last few are character qualities that he lived out, that he chose, and you and I can choose the same. And I pray that we do. Let's look at verses 6 and 7 again. But let's add the word choose. This is what we will decide to do, to be like Paul, to be like Christ. Let's choose. So first of all, choose purity. Choose purity. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able, but he will always provide the way of escape. So when we are faced with the choice to be impure or to be pure, the Bible says you can always be pure because God's given you the way. We have to choose the right way, but if we're followers of Jesus, we can choose purity. Second, choose knowledge. In 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, I quoted it earlier, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. What does that mean? God says we can choose knowledge by choosing his word. And he's given us his word to equip us. And we can choose, go back to verse 6, patience. Now what is patience? Let me give you a simple definition. Impatience is about emotion. So when our mind makes the choice to rule over our emotions, when we are upset, when we're in a hurry, when we're frustrated, when we're angry and we're impatient, and we want things at our pace, if in our mind we choose to rule over that and relax, sit back, wait, trust, calm down, then what we are doing is we are choosing patience. You have the ability to choose patience. Now, you may not think you do. You may have a short fuse. You may come from a long line of short fuses. You may come by it natural. But here's the thing, now, because you know Jesus, supernatural, you can choose patience. So we can choose it. We can choose, as it says in verse 6, kindness. Listen, here's the reality. People will remember how you treated them more than what you said to them. They will. People will remember how you made them feel more than what you said to them. So it's important to be kind. We can choose kindness. We can choose the Holy Spirit. The last line of that song, Same God, we sang, I'm calling on the Holy Spirit. We're asking and we're choosing the Holy Spirit to move in our lives, to lead and to guide. How about this? We can choose love. Listen, that may sound oversimplified, but it says genuine love in verse 6. What's genuine love? It's godly love. It's not love based on whether someone earned it or not. We can just choose to love. You can love your neighbors as yourself. It doesn't matter if your neighbor is white, black, Hispanic. It doesn't matter what your neighbor is. You can love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't matter if they're poor, rich. It doesn't matter if they're obnoxious or friendly. The scripture says we can choose. We choose love from verse 6. And then also we can choose truthful speech. Listen, we live in a day and age where people will lie. Leaders will lie. It's hard to know if someone's telling the truth. But if we wake up every day and before our feet hit the ground out of the bed, we say, God, today I choose to be truthful with my speech. Listen, that will go a long way for the gospel's sake. And if we do these things, the power of God will flow in these choices. But I want to say to you this, in verse 7, it's my favorite verse. And when I was preparing for this earlier this week, when the Lord spoke to me through this verse, it was powerful. And I mean, I have not been able to get past this verse all week long. Listen to what he says. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. Get that visual image that you're putting weapons in both hands and you're preparing for battle. Here's what I would say to you today. We are warriors. And there are weapons that we need. We are called to that. Let me give you an example. Right now we have, I think, a little over 30 between teenagers and adults. We've got around 30, 32 or a little more students in Gatlinburg for a winter conference. They're with a couple thousand other students and they're there and God's already moved. We had 3 students that have already been saved on that trip. Praise the Lord. Somebody say amen to that. We praise the Lord. And others where God is moving, we're thankful for Kel and the leaders and their leadership in that area. But I, as a child, that was our go-to place, was Gatlinburg. We didn't go a lot of places on vacation, but if we did, we went there. And as a child, here's what I remember about Gatlinburg and walking around. It was full of candy shops and junk stores. And I loved the junk stores, right? They were you could go and find anything you could imagine in there, and it was great. And now, 40-something years later, things have changed a little bit. It's still full of candy shops and junk stores, but about 1 out of every 5 store is like a CBD cannabinoid kind of... Listen, you got to be careful where you get your fudge. You know what I'm talking about? So I'm just saying, it's changed, okay? And I don't speak from experience. I'm just telling you. You'll never know. It's okay. So... I'm just kidding. So what I would say to you, though, my favorite store in Gatlinburg as a child, I'm going to confess, and you're going to make fun of me, but it's still my favorite store today. And that is, there's 2 in Gatlinburg and 2 in Pigeon Forge, but these are the stores that sell swords. Now, I'm not talking about them make you a little knife. I'm talking about battle axes and swords and real weapons. And I love to go in there and touch them. You say, why would you? Listen, I can picture me holding. I know you can't picture me holding those, but I can picture me doing that. I love that. Why? Because deep down in the heart of every man in this room is a warrior and a desire to be one. Where does that come from? The Lord. He has called us to be warriors for his kingdom. Now, it's probably not to hold a battle axe and a sword. But the reality is we have called to weapons of righteousness. It says, Paul said, a weapon of righteousness in your right hand and the left. That's what God's called us to. Now, that's a great metaphor. It's a beautiful word image. But what do you do with that? Well, you have to ask 2 questions. Number 1, what is a weapon of righteousness? And number 2, do you have one in your left hand and in your right? So let's answer those real quickly together. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 Paul says these words, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly place. Here's what I would say. You are in a spiritual battle and you are caught up in it whether you know it or not. So as followers of Jesus, we need to have the weapons of warfare, weapons of righteousness. So if I were to make a quick list, I did a search through some of my commentaries and my Bible commentary software, and I just wanted to see what different commentators said about what are weapons of righteousness found in this verse in chapter 6. And overwhelmingly, here's the answers we got. There were several answers, but here's what they were. The first weapon of righteousness, it's not going to surprise you, it's God's word. If you're going to hold a weapon of righteousness in your hand, it's the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces the thoughts and actions of the heart. The word of God's alive. So the scripture tells us that we hold that in our hand and we take in the word of God. And then it also says in 2 Timothy 3:16, I quoted earlier, all scriptures God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training, so that the man of God or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's not gender specific. That's not just for men. So what does that mean? God's word is practical and useful and is alive and is an offensive weapon that we can use to be righteous and holy and honor those and share the gospel and live the life we've called us to. So I want to encourage you for just a moment to ask yourself the question, do I have the weapon of God's word, that weapon of righteousness in my right hand? What I would say to you is this, it is not enough to own a Bible. We must take God's word into our heart. We must read it regularly and take it in. Just like it's not enough for you to own a weapon and then not have it with you when you need it. I can say to you this, that owning a copy of the Bible, having one at your disposal is great, but you need to take it a step further and put it in your heart so that it's there when you need it and you're ready for it. The psalmist says, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So the first weapon of righteousness is God's word. The second weapon of righteousness is this, prayer. Now, we've spent 140 hours in prayer at the beginning of the year. We continue to make prayer the theme work of our year and who we are and what we're about. But I want you to think for just a moment about all the answered prayers in the Bible. You couldn't do it in a moment. It would take you a long time if you started to look at every time God answered a prayer in the Bible, what it did. It would be a long and exhaustive list. Let me give you a few. Go back to the Old Testament to Elijah. Elijah answered prayer, brought about several years of drought for an entire nation. And then Elijah's answered prayer brought about the ending of that drought. The prophet Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha, his answered prayer meant that all of his enemies were struck blind so that he was able to escape and continue to do the things that God called him to do. How about Hezekiah? Last week, we talked about Hezekiah laying out on the altar before the Lord this letter of lies that he received from the Rabshakeh. If you remember, that's what we talked about last week. Well, Hezekiah, after they defeat their enemies, the Assyrians, in that moment, do you know what happens next? Not long after that, he ends up very, very sick, and he's going to die. And so he prays again, and the scripture says that God answered his prayer by giving him 15 more years to add to his life. His answered prayer was 15 more years. You think about the church in the New Testament. They prayed for Peter while he was in prison, and Peter was set free. Jesus himself prayed that God would multiply food, and he fed the 5,000 men plus the women and the children. And there are other example after example and hundreds more that show that God answers prayer. So what I would see is we need a prayer, a righteous prayer in our left hand. Holding on to that. How is your prayer life? We'll come back to that in a moment of how to be practical. The third weapon of righteousness is faith. I saw it over and over from commentators, and I agree. But faith is a funny thing because you can have faith in things that don't matter. You can have faith in false things. This is not just faith. It's faith in God. It's faith in God's plan. It's faith in God's strategy. It's faith in God's word, and it's faith in God's power. If you have faith in your way to get things done, sooner or later, you're not going to get it done. If you have faith in your own ability to make things happen, your strength will wane at some point. I can't tell you on a regular basis, we can start the week off with everyone well, and before the week is over, how many medical emergencies take place just within our faith family that nobody knew was coming. And it happens week after week after week. So if your faith is in yourself, sooner or later, you're going to let yourself down. So our faith is in God and in his word and trusting him and learning to do what he says and learning to believe who he is and that he will use who he chooses to use, which is you. So faith is a weapon of righteousness. Two more. I think kindness is a weapon of righteousness. Paul mentions it in chapter 6 before he says this very thing. Think back to your high school reunion. Maybe you've had a 20-year reunion, a 30-year, a 40-year, a 50-year. There's some 60-year reunion people in this room. Maybe you've had one of those. If you've gone to it, think back to those that were the most cool people in high school. And I know it may be hard to believe, but I was not one of the cool kids in high school. And so you think back to who was, and then you see them years later. And here's what I came to learn. They look just like the rest of us. They're old and wrinkly, just like the rest of us. They weren't then. Everything was perfect back then. But here's what I can tell you. When you see the one that was so kind and everybody loved, here's the phrase if you want to remember it. Cool wins high school. Kindness wins life. It's the truth. Later on, you remember the people that were kind. You remember the ones that treated everybody well. And then you remember the ones that have been transformed, that started out one way and are now better and different. You're excited for that for them. And we're all just the same in that regard. And so kindness, the scripture says it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. That's a scripture verse. But the reality is God's loving kindness, his work in us, his grace, his mercy can be lived out by us. We'll talk about how to live it out in a moment. And then lastly, the last weapon of righteousness we'll mention, there are more, would be God's love and God's grace. Listen, if you know Jesus, you've experienced God's love and God's grace. So now own it and extend it. You are meant to be the vehicle by which it's given to others. So we can live that out. So let me ask you, do you have these weapons of righteousness in your right hand and in your left? God's word, prayer, faith, kindness, God's love. King David, we sang about him earlier. King David was a warrior. But you know what? King David was also a worshiper. King David was a worshiping warrior. And King David gave us something that no one else has ever had for a name. He was called the man after God's own heart. So God loved him and was at work in his life. Now I want you to listen to what David wrote. This is after Goliath. This is after defeating the Philistines. This is after defeating Saul and his army. This is after so many battles. Listen to what David wrote in Psalm 144, 1. He says, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." Now, this is not David saying that before he goes to Goliath with the stones. This is not David saying this when he's about to face another enemy. This is David saying this at a point when he is older. It's a spiritual battle. He says, "Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." Listen, there's a supernatural war, and you and I are caught up in it. So the question is, are we trying to have weapons of good intentions, or do we have weapons of righteousness? Here's what I've learned. Good intentions make lousy weapons. Find yourself in a dark alley tonight. Someone comes up to you to rob you, and you say, "I had the best of intentions of being armed, but I'm not." Will you be good with that? See how that goes. Intentions don't make the difference. Listen, it's different. So what we have to decide is this. In 2023, we're still early, so we can still talk about the new year. In 2023, 15 days in now, I don't want my year to be about good intentions. I intended to do this, or I intended to do that, or I intended to grow this way. Instead, I want to put feet to the decisions I'm making in my mind to have weapons of righteousness in my right hand and my left. I want my hands that have been trained for battle and for war to be used by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So how do we do it? Well, it's a choice. We stop and examine how we can go from intention to living these things out. Let's get practical for a moment. If you want to have weapons of righteousness in your hand, let's start with the Word of God. First, you have to make a plan. And the plan is to take the next right step in front of you. And let me tell you what that is. If you struggle to read God's word, I'm going to give you the next right step. It's this: read it. It's not think about reading it. It's to read it. It's to make a decision every day to read God's word. And it can be simple. You say, "I don't know where to start or what to do." Go to albertvillefbc.church, our website. On the top, you'll see a little icon that says next steps. Click on that, and under Bible reading, it will give you Bible reading plans. It will give you questions to ask when you read it to help it make sense. There's all kinds of information there for you that you can start reading God's word. So the key is not to have a good intention to do it, but to read it. Remember, his word I've hidden in my heart, not in my mind, not in my Bible, not in my phone. I've hidden it in my heart. So we got to read it to put it in your heart. How do you put things in your heart? It happens through your eyes and your mind. How do we read God's word? Through our eyes and our mind. So we take that in. So listen, friends, I want to encourage you and me. Don't have a good intention. That's a lousy weapon. Read God's word. Second, what about prayer? Can I ask you to confess something today? I don't usually ask you to confess things, but I'm going to. I'm going to ask you to literally raise your hand to confess this today, and it's going to be okay. But be truthful, okay? And that is this: has anyone ever asked you to pray for them and you said you would pray for them and then you forgot to pray for them? Raise your hand if that's you. Hands all over the room. Listen, I'm the king of forgetfulness. I get it. We can forget things. So we can have the best intentions of praying. But listen, I don't find any scripture that says I intended to pray and God answered. Unprayed prayers are unanswered prayers. So we want to be humble and bold and wise enough to make a list. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. What I had to do, my prayer life has changed over the last number of months. And here's how it changed. Because I went from telling people I would pray for them and trying to scratch it down on the note, because I know if I didn't write it down, it never happened. And then I lose the note. And my place, I don't know where your go-to place. Mine is my back left pocket. That's where I keep my notes. I got a note back there right now I made right as I came in the room. And so that's my filing system. I'll pull that out and do it. But here's what I've learned with prayer. I've learned I'll just forget. So here's what I did. I went and found a prayer app. If you didn't know it, there's an app for everything. So the app, I want to encourage you, if you struggle to remember to pray, go download this app on your phone. They have it for iPhones. They have it for Androids as well. It's called the Echo Prayer app. It's that color. It looks like that. It's free. Won't cost you a dime. But it's simple and easy to load a prayer request in. Very easy. And then you can set a timer to remind you to pray. But you don't have to set one for every request. Just set it for one. And when it tells you, it reminds you to pray, well, then you can pray. Mine is set to go off at 7 a.m. and 1 p.m. every day. So if I told you for years of my life I was going to pray for you, I probably did. If I didn't do it right then, I hope I did it right then. But if not, I may have forgot. Now, the second you tell me to pray, I put it in my app, and I'm reminded at least twice a day, and every one of those gets prayed for twice a day. So what is that? That is just me being practical and making a decision that I want the weapon of righteousness of prayer in my left hand, and I will not do it without some help. So I encourage you, download that and give it a try if you struggle with that as well. You'll find it very useful, so easy. You can log your answered prayers and keep up with them. Won't cost you a dime. Next, I would say this: when it comes to strengthening your faith and being a person of faith, how do you do that? It's simple. Faith is about trusting in God and His plan and His ways. So take the next right step in front of you. Just one step. It doesn't have to be a big step. Just take a step. If God's telling you to do something, you read it in His word. He says, this is the way to act. Take the next step and act that way. If He says, this is the way to react, really the Bible doesn't talk to us about reactions. Reactions just happen. It talks about actions that are purposeful. So we're to act a certain way. Just take the next step and do it. When it gives you a character quality, take the next step and live it out. When it calls you to do something, take the next step and live it out. Live out your faith and strengthen it with small steps of obedience. This is not, I'm going to become faithful to God, so I'm going to sell everything I have and move to West Africa. That, if God calls you to do that, I promise you there'll be a first small step to take to make that happen. That's not the point. Just start somewhere. How about this? How do you show kindness to others? Well, take the next step. Just be kind. You'll go to restaurants today. Listen, you all have witnessed this, so I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but since COVID, it's like I feel so bad for business owners who are restaurant owners because they have lost half of their workforce and restaurants are down to half size and they struggle. And we wonder where all those people are now who are not working. But the truth is you'll go and you'll get frustrated. And there's no time that over frustrates a restaurant than Sundays at lunch because the church shows up. Everybody was at church and they all go somewhere to eat. And you can ask your server and they won't be honest with you today because they want a good tip. But on other days they might be honest with you that the worst day of all would be Sundays because believers can come in after having been singing, "You're the same, God, I love you," and go in there and complain about their sandwich and complain about how fast things are happening and be complainers. Listen, here's what I would say. You want to live out the words of righteousness with the right hand and the left? Show kindness at lunch today, above and beyond. Show kindness at Walmart today. Show kindness at Foodland today. Show kindness with your neighbors today. Show kindness when someone's not earned it today. It is a picture of grace and a vehicle for grace according to the scripture. And then lastly, show God's love and grace to others. So what about you? Do you have the weapons of righteousness in your right hand and left? Or would you agree with me that some of those are there and some I need to work on? So I want to have my hands trained for battle and my fingers for war. I want that. to do what God would call me to do. So let's don't intend to, let's choose to. Would you bow with me for just a moment, with heads bowed and eyes closed? What about you? Maybe you need to make a renewed commitment to the Word of God. If you don't own a Bible, we'd like to give you one. So please come and see me. That's your first step. If you don't own a Bible and you have a smartphone, download the YouVersion Bible app. Let that be your first step. If you have not been reading it consistently, just make a renewed commitment that you'll start your day every day before you check Facebook or Instagram or the weather. You will start with the simple opening of God's Word and reading a couple of verses and ask God to speak to you through it. Maybe you want to come and get on your knees and make this renewed commitment. Maybe you want to do it at your seat, but just be obedient to what God says. Maybe for you, though, it's prayer. You're reading God's Word consistently, but you struggle in your prayer life and you're sort of in a rut. Listen, I get it. I've been there. I would encourage you, make a renewed commitment to pray consistently. And when you tell someone you pray for, to do it right then on the spot with them, but then also to put it in an app or write it down or find some way to remember. Make a commitment that we will bring humble and bold prayers to the King of Kings and trust Him to move. If you're working on your faith, it's taking the next small step of truth and righteousness in front of you to be obedient. Make a renewed commitment. Maybe for some of you, the next step for you today is that God's calling you to publicly profess that you've been saved, that you want Jesus in your life and you want to follow through with believer's baptism. Maybe for you, God's calling you to unite with our church so that this can be your official faith family, and together we will make a difference in our community and in the kingdom and around the world. If God's calling you, maybe that's the next step. I don't know. But He will show His kindness and His love. Whatever He's saying to you, if you need to pray, someone will pray with you. If you want to pray with me, if you have a decision to make, would you just respond either at your seat or here? Father God, thank You that we can sing, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to You. Take my hands." Lord, when we sing that verse, it reminds me that You're calling us to have the weapons of righteousness in our right hand and left. Oh God, may I move past good intentions to execution and discipline. Would You do that in the lives of each person here? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.